Not live and coming to you from the fabulous Ruby Studio on the Sunset Strip in Hollywood, California. It's the Bob Dean Show.
Yay!
This is our 80th. Dennis and I, if you can't have it guessed yet, we're the Rixalti twins. So pop those antidepressants, ladies and gentlemen.
And get ready to suffer your diarrhea, indigestion, upset stomach.
Jenny Answer Carlson is back with us, along with the fabulous Sylvia Sage. Hello. Welcome back, ladies. Yay!
Yay.
Episode 85. It's our third Halloween episode. Our third Halloween episode.
Wow.
Trick or treat, baby.
Dennis love it.
Picked Halloween's out some little fave. Gifts for you all today. There's one for you.
Water pistol.
And one for you.
I love
great.
It. I've always wanted a dick pistol.
I know it's a dick. And just like, because every time you squirt it, you can think of me because I'm such a dick.
Oh, here it is.
I love this. I'm going to have to hide this from the kids that come over to the pool.
God.
And I have the bag with the water guns. I'll be like, the parents will be like, what is that? Sorry.
That's
that wasn't
supposed to be
in there. It's got a pretty quick motion, too. One of them's for Kathy St. George, y'all, but Kathy won't be with us today. Sorry. Bye. Love you, Kathy.
Love you, Kathy.
Let us know if you want us to drop this by.
Yeah.
These are
the
so
dick pistol
good.
Or
aren't
the
they
water?
Cool?
Which were you pointing
they
at?
They actually feel pretty good in your hands, too.
I mean, this is like...
It's her new band, the dick pistol.
This is going to be in my purse all the time.
Right?
You're going to see me trying to get arrested by TSA going through.
Oh, my God.
Put vodka in it.
Oh, my God. That's genius.
Yes?
Is it less than 3.5 ounces?
I didn't bubble. We'll have to find out.
Let's hope not.
I mean, it has to be something white in there, right? You gotta.
So today it is 3:15 p.m. Pacific time on Monday the 21st, and it is 93 degrees.
Yeah, it is
in Los Angeles.
Man,
yeah,
I'm over it.
I was talking to my sister on the phone in the Pocono Mountains on the way here, and it's 30 degrees, and the deer are all walking up to her door. She lives way out in the middle in the boonies. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's hot as you know what here.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Yeah, and you heard that there was a fire in the Pacific Palisades.
I did.
I just
not wood. They've got it under control right away.
Yeah,
you know,
I hate it.
Just like the commentator said, though, there's not a. Yeah, I know. The Santa Ana winds. What happens when the Santa Ana winds come blowing through? And usually October, right? Mm-hmm. They it's gusty. We live by the beach, and you're in the valleys, right?
Valley,
it's dirty.
Yeah.
It's hot as hell.
Yeah. And you know when
people go crazy.
Yeah, and you know,
especially when it's that hot.
When I first moved here, and I came home from work one day, and I had a bunch of pictures laying around that weren't framed, and they were all curled like this. Do you?
Oh yeah,
it
from
curls
the heat.
The print. That your pictures are on, and then when they go out, they flatten themselves out.
I have pictures on my wall that are bowed.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's
welcome
bizarre.
To Los Angeles.
I know.
And my brother sent me an email or a Facebook message other day. He's like, and living in LA is so great. Why?
No, but I just got back from Denver, and let me tell you, it's hell there. It is.
Oh, really?
It was so cold.
Nice.
No.
Oh.
Wow. It was so cold. It was awful. I was miserable. I got sick there. That's how this happened. Denver did this to me. Between the altitude and the cold, I was miserable.
Yeah, it will screw
I
you
love
up.
The cold. I couldn't even go out.
I do too.
It's because I'm, you know, Swedish. We're like frigid people.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
And it's great for your beautiful complexion. And
I like it cold. I love it cold. I know.
Well,
that's
I
weird,
like the cold for brief periods.
Yeah.
I had the, that's what's great. If you can get up to Big Bear.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it is only 2 hours away.
So
and,
nice. Up
you
there.
Know, they say all these. One of the things about moving to California, it's like you can go to the beach and skiing in the same day. Well, yeah, you can, but
you wouldn't want to.
You know, you might.
It
do
would
it
take
just
4 hours
a point.
to yeah. drive there. Once
but yeah,
there.
I really every year I say I want to go up to Big Bear and just rent a cabin for a couple of days and veg.
Yeah.
When it's really cold and build a fire and that sort of thing.
Right, right.
And but
then come back to where it's warm.
Exactly.
People still have mullets up there. Like
yeah, oh for
Bear.
Sure.
Like
saw,
you walk up.
Oh,
like,
I saw a guy with a mullet yesterday. I'm like,
yes,
in Rouse with that guy, and he's like, check that out. Well, if you guys may have noticed, I've grown quite the beard here. I'm looking a little Santa Claus-esque.
I like it.
I love it. It's
thanks.
So on trend.
Oh,
I mean, look at you guys.
Well,
so
I started
trend.
Growing it because I figured I'm going to be out of work for several months. I actually, so this is 5 months? Because the first three I shaved, you know? So I said,
so
what the
by
hell?
December, you'll be able to audition for Santa.
I contacted my manager yesterday.
David Letterman's.
I emailed this weekend and I said, should I shave this off or leave it for Santa season? She's like,
leave it
on. So, you know.
And you can body double for David Letterman.
Right?
Oh, my God. Totally. Oh, my God. I've never
should
thought
I
that before.
Oh,
yeah.
like, what is it? They did the movie version that's out now, yeah. like Between Two Ferns, where Zach Galifianakis, he interviews him. It's so funny. Oh my God, so funny. Awesome, and Letterman was the best, I'm sorry, of the whole movie. Like, no, you know, I love Paul Rudd. I love everybody on there, but it was so funny. So you could just be Letterman.
Well, for Halloween,
you don't even have to do anything.
Yeah,
you just put on a suit.
One time, I took one of my the blind people that I used to work with, and I would take her yearly to the Department of Housing to upgrade her.
Good for you.
Her housing,
social services,
right? Got it. So I'm standing, and I always was very. I'd either wear a jacket and a tie and slacks. And I had a briefcase. So I looked, and as soon as I'd walk in, everybody would be surrounding me going, are you a landlord? Yeah. Are you a landlord? And
are you a lawyer?
I'm some bartender, but I just happen to dress when I do commerce, when I'm doing business, right? Well, one day this lady jumped a lot. And the woman that I won't mention any names, but she was very old. And she had this Donna Summer wig that she used to love to wear. She was cool. And she's still around. I'm standing in line and this woman jumps the line. And I said, and of course, and nobody said a word. And I said, and it's one line in a small room, and there was like 50 people. Okay. And I said, ma'am, the line forms back here. And she turned around and she went like this with her hand, with no eye contact. She said, I'm just going to be a minute. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'm sure you are. And the line forms back here.
Right.
And she goes, I'm just going to be a minute. I said, yes, I'm sure you are. And as I said, the line forms back here. And this voice goes, hey. And I turn around. And apparently it's where her two teenage children.
Oh, no.
And he goes, look at you, all Kelsey Grandma with your Bill Cosby sweater. I was wearing a sweater and khakis. And he goes, look real loud. He goes, look at you, Frasier Crane with your Kelsey Grandma with your Bill Cosby sweater. And he was wearing these giant gold chain. And I go, well, thank you very much. And those tire chains around your neck are very flattering, too.
That's
and my
good.
Brother, she grabbed arms. She's like, Bob, please be quiet. They were so stunned. They didn't know what to say.
Did she move out of the line?
No.
She was dug in. She was ready. I was like, did she put up your
She was ready to fight.
Like, fisticuffs. Yeah.
Well, you know, you can ask him. You can ask any friend. I am so unfiltered, and I cannot believe I haven't been shot or punched in the teeth. I've come close many times.
I love that all of you guys on this show are unfiltered.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited. Sorry.
That Jody has been dying
you again.
To be back in town. Yeah, Sylvia's the blast.
So I know. And I was so excited because I was like, do you know how much street cred I get from knowing a hot porn star? And I was like her on Instagram and Facebook. And I was like, Sylvia. And I was like going to like. And then I saw the comment right above. And the comment on your page was like, I loved your last film. You fuck great. And I was like, I wish somebody would write that on my page. I was like,
mine too.
I know, right? Because in LA, like, I love that it's a land of dreams, but everybody thinks they can do everything here, right? Like, they think that they can just be a porn star,
right?
Or that they can be a comedian, and it takes a lot of work,
right?
And I'm sorry, but it is hard to fuck on film.
It is.
Yeah. It is really hard to fuck on film. Okay, I mean, everybody's
and
tried home
theatrical.
Porn.
Yeah,
it does not look good. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. Home porn it does not look good. The camera angles, you do not need to see yourself like that ever. I'm just like, I'm so happy to be back here with you.
Thank
so
you. Oh, I appreciate that. I'm happy to be back with you guys.
And,
yeah.
And you just celebrated an anniversary.
I did.
Happy anniversary.
Oh my God. 13 years.
13? I thought it was 10. 13.
13.
Congratulations. Jesus. Your husband's name again is?
Mika.
Mika.
Hi,
congratulations, Mika. Happy anniversary.
Yay.
And
that's
you went
awesome.
To Sweden recently too, right?
We did. One of his friends got married. Crazy, like, huge wedding, and nobody really gets married anymore. So
or
it's kind of fun.
Flies to Sweden to watch their friend get married.
Well, he's from Sweden. So he's from Stockholm. And
got
then
it.
So it was one of his friends. So we try to go like once a year, but it's far and it's expensive. But it's really fun to go back there. But it's not like a vacation where you just chill.
Yeah.
You're with family. You know what I mean? When you go see family, and I love them. I love them all. But you're just like, you're like this the whole time, and you come back and you're more tired.
Yeah. That's another reason why I hate to travel too, because unless you're rich and you can take 3 weeks or
right.
You know, it's and the fly time from the West Coast to the East Coast is a whole day.
It
you don't
is.
Recover for two.
It's a whole day.
Did you, in your act, you talk about what you said in the kitchen to his grandmother?
Oh,
Did you have any fumble mouth things like that this time?
Oh my God. I got to think. I always fuck up every time I go. Like, so My Swedish is shit because my dad,
at least you know Swedish. That's impressive to me.
It's like nothing. I mean, like I can say like hello and how are you. Okay. That's about it. And
like every time, Spanish.
Well, and every time I, that's it. Yeah. And every time I try to speak like something proper, I mess it up. Like they always have like these toasts and cheers. And in the end, they're like, hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. But I say, hurrah, 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 which means whore, whore. So like every time I mess up something, but it's very like innocent, right? I love that.
My friends on the Bob D Show. Yay. That's hilarious.
Whore, whore.
Yeah. Those are the things that
I chant that every morning to myself in the mirror. I'm like, whore.
Hey, you got to pump yourself up, right? Yay. Hey, Sylvia has a new podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Yay. Yay. Tell us all about it.
I do.
But wait, the first one. No. Yay! Yay!
Oh my God, I just hit the mic with the hair.
With the hair. It's so big. I love it.
So big. So 80s.
It's called it's called Sexy Funny Raw, and I have on comedians nice. And porn stars, awesome. And we talk sex and sex education because I think
that's
it's
great.
So important.
Good. It is so important.
And so I talk about things that... Like things you're only brave enough to ask Google. So I always ask my guests that question.
That's a great
what was
idea.
The last thing that they asked Google? And so we just get really deep in it's like funny. Into everyone's like private lives, so we all can express something that we were maybe embarrassed about that now we're bringing to the surface and talking about in a real life conversation.
Fabulous,
great. Yeah.
And where can we find you?
It's on everywhere. It's on iHeartRadio. It's on iTunes. Great. It's on Stitcher. Anywhere you find podcasts.
Excellent.
Cool. Yeah.
I have listened in before, and it's fabulous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Where do you guys
much.
Record?
I have a studio in Burbank, just across the street from Warner Brothers.
That's
studio.
Great.
Ooh,
yeah.
You're swank.
Bro. I know. It feels really swanky to say that. Yeah. I know. I really like it.
Girl.
Yeah. it's great. I got a great production team, and they like put the show together for me. So it just runs really smoothly now. So
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, so fun. Yeah,
and as I said, I have already invited myself to be a guest.
Yeah. So. Yes.
Okay. Yes. I got nothing
yes.
to say.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. I actually have a show coming up that I haven't booked for yet on November 10th. Two shows actually. So
how do you guys record? Do you schedule like once a week?
Yeah,
twice a
I do
month,
one a month, and then I usually record two episodes a month, and I do them bi-weekly and release them. Sometimes they're live, sometimes they're pre-recorded, just depending on schedules. This upcoming for November, I'll do one live show and then one recorded.
Awesome.
So yeah. Yeah,
you have a great Halloween costume for your Halloween.
Thank you. I
stand
do.
Up.
Yeah. I'm a ninja today.
Yeah. All right. Stand up too. Can you like show show a little cleavage, ladies?
Oh yeah. Woo-hoo. I know. My husband was like doing the back of my dress. He's like, "Your boob's gonna pop out." I'm like,
we hope so.
It's a pretty damn good profile. I'll tell you that right now.
To, you know,
sorry, Mika.
You guys look awesome.
My 90s Steve Madden boots.
I love it
forever.
I love that you keep stuff. Like that. I am the worst. I throw out everything.
I usually do. But every once in a while, I've kept some things because I modeled for him like back in the day in New York.
Nice.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that's amazing.
A long time ago.
That's friggin' awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it was fun.
Well,
I love dress up.
Don't
we're
throw
performers.
Anything away. I've got underwear that I bought in 1987.
Do we need to know this?
Well, they're boxer shorts, paisley boxer shorts that are all, they're worse. For, of course, they were made in the United States. That's
why. Do you still
wear them? I sure do.
Oh, okay.
And they smell like patchouli.
They smell like, no, it's not patchouli.
Hilarious.
Patchouli.
Oh my God, patchouli.
But are you
every
a hoarder?
Every time someone sits next to me with patchouli, I'm like, there
you know what? If I had the space, I would be.
You would be a hoarder?
Mm-hmm. I just love keeping stuff.
I'm a minimalist. I
are you?
Everything.
See, that's like when I was, I've told you before, when I moved out here, the family home, I was bequeathed, and you know, when my brother was helping me to move to Los Angeles, and you know, 40 years in the same home, and everything that's in the attic, and blah blah blah. And I'm like, I really want to keep this broken wagon wheel bed frame from when we were five, because he's like, pitch it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what about these 100 Life magazines?
You're like my mom.
Pitch it, you know?
That would be me. I'd pitch everything.
But now I'm going, I wish I had that, blah, blah, blah. I would be.
If
I didn't have some guidance at this, because I used to, I come from an anal cleaning family.
Yeah,
my mother
me.
Instilled that. My brother and my sister, the first
that's
thing
good.
My brother Greg does when he walks in the house is he'll be in like
$1,000
suit and he'll get out the Clorox and start cleaning the tiles on the counter.
Oh, that's like, a little obsessive.
Well, I'm dramatizing a little.
thing.
But he won't use my shower.
He won't use your shower.
Even when I'm like, yeah, I clean for a week. And he's like, oh, how nice. Is there a Ramada Inn down the street? And my sister is the same way. And I used to be. And what it would be is I do it. I guess it was obsessive compulsive to where the house isn't dirty.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could use my bathroom because the toilet's scrubbed. The sink is scrubbed. The floor might need a sweeping. And especially with this crap, because neither one of us can really get anything off the floor. We've got a bunch of those things.
That's what the animals are for.
But as far as like,
yeah, but I dust, and they don't listen.
I dust like twice a year, whether it needs it or not, and run the vacuum minimally, you know. And then, of course, before the Happy Birthday Baby Jesus cocktail soiree, I panic and scrub for a week before.
I love Oh my God. I'm like OCD. Jesus. When I get up in the morning, Same. It has to be like put away before I leave because we have pets. You guys have pets too.
Yep, cats.
But it's like, yeah. My husband's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm just like cleaning.
If I leave anything out, the cats will not get the – it's gone on the floor by the time I get home.
I know. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Our cats, there's so much stuff piled everywhere that they're like, what the fuck? And you should see. I'm like, I've got all these papers that have stacked on the – I don't know if you guys have been to my apartment, our apartment.
I haven't.
You know, I've got a big counter that's about – la, la, la. And my that's where I work the computer because my desk is all covered with crap. And it's all the paperwork that I know I need to keep. And of course, I'm getting, you know, two letters and two envelopes a day from Blue Shield and blah, blah, because of the surgery.
I hate that.
It's literally in piles. And I said, I need to get my shredder broke. We went to look at a shredder. I thought they'd be like $25 by now. They're all still $100. So we're going to borrow my friend Shirley's and just get rid of this stuff. The whole point about it is it's all piled up because I know it's important stuff, all right?
Well, and you better be careful because I don't want to see you on one of those shows, Bob. I know those guys.
Why didn't you let me know? Our big black, we have this cat, Phoenix, who's chubby. He's black, the black tuxedo cat. And that's his favorite spot. He gets up and he's like, crunch, crunch, crunch. And then he lays down and I wake up and all these envelopes are on the floor. And I'm like, ah!
Is his name really Chubby?
No,
it's Fat Tilly.
No, I mean, Chubby's pretty funny.
We have a 4-pound cat named Tilly, and she's the ruler of the roost. She's four.
Four pounds?
She's tiny.
She's tiny.
But she's beautiful. She's got these big green eyes.
Is she a baby?
She's beautiful.
No, she's
almost 10. But she's a spaz, if I can use that word.
Chases her tail. On the Bob Bean show. Yeah, you can say whatever you want. She chases her tail. And she never peeps. She never meows. But then at 3 o'clock in the morning, it's like,
She's a magic.
And
if you wake her up. Like the witching hour. Halloween.
So the cat I was just talking about, his name is Phoenix. And he, you know, his markings are just like hers, but he's big and he's. And so we call him Fat Tilly.
Oh, that's so cute.
And then we have Siamy, the Siamese cat. And he is just, they're just great. And then the Russian blue and then Loki, the solid black. Oh, by the way, this is, Dennis got this from yesterday.
Is it a back scratcher?
It's a back scratcher.
The cats love it.
The cats love it.
The cats love it.
It's like your wand. It's like a creepy hand all at the same time.
I'll be like, hey, Bob. Listen to you.
Bob, now that you've done that, why don't you share your other bone with us?
That's like you could do some.
Oh, my God. For a second, I forgot that you had the hip, and I was like, is it that kind of show?
I want to check it out.
I don't want to touch it.
It wasn't dripping.
I'm not touching it. I'm not touching your bone.
I'm not touching it either.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is my Halloween. Ooh, you can't really see it.
I say be careful.
Don't worry.
You said you didn't know if it was leaking.
This is my actual hip bone, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you smelled it?
No.
Dude, it is.
The lady said, do never take it out of the. I was never? Going on. I was in getting ready to go under, and I'm laying there, and all the lights are on. And of course, I was, you know, I said to the girl, I go, hey, I want to keep my bone. And she's like, you really want it? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, yeah, people do it all the time. So I simply put in a request and went back a month later. And this is my actual coming from my body.
Wow.
Hip bone. Mm. But it's in formaldehyde. So it's
I hope when you asked for it, you did like a bad joke. Like, hey, I'm here to get my bone.
My bone.
Where do you keep it at your house?
Just on my. You need to come to my.
Is it on the kitchen counter?
No. It's on. We keep. I've got these bookshelves, and I keep little mementos.
Okay.
From all kinds of stuff that's crammed in there. And every day
it's gonna
I look
be on
at
your bookshelf.
It's going to be on the little memory shelf.
Oh.
But the thing about it is that Dennis was looking at online. I know. Dennis was looking online the other day about how to dry it out. because, you know, make a necklace out
who
of it.
Who cooks it? When you die, was dried, just so you know. When not you that die, my opinion matters.
Yeah. Oh, please. Yeah,
put it in the desert for a month.
My brother and sister will probably make arrangements just to have everything tossed.
They're not even going to go through your stuff.
I've got a set of my mom's good china that I found. I sent most of the stuff to my sisters, but I have an old set of china that I remember. It's beautifully intact that I found packed away beautifully in the attic. So I brought that, and I brought this collection of gorgeous cut crystal cocktail glasses that my parents got when they got married, you know. And it's funny because the martini glasses are this big. And the red wine glasses are like this, and the white wine glasses are like this. It's not like these giant things,
right?
Like
the
we
bars
drink now, like the now goblets I have in alcoholics. My house, and I'm like, half a bottle can
so
go in
I've
there.
I've got a couple things, you know, that I would that I think my family won't, but otherwise they'd be like, you know, why is there this?
Beep, 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 beep. Why is there a hip bone in a plastic hanger?
I also have a tooth.
Oh, of course you do.
First molar that I ever had extracted in Nashville. The dentist was such an ass, and I'm like, and I, for $400, I want to keep the tooth. He's like, that's not, I'm serious. I want to keep it.
So is this like your guilty pleasure vice? Like, are we sharing right now? Like, do I need to tell everybody that I like to smell my dog's feet?
Do you smell your dog's feet?
Yes. Do you? How? Like their little paws.
They walk around in like LA shit.
I know. Well, not really. But yes, they do. You're right.
Do you wipe their feet before you smell them?
No, I don't wipe their feet before I smell them, but I wipe their feet before they come in the house.
Okay, that's good. That's
but I'm not the only person that smells.
How many dogs do you have? What kind of dogs
I have four
have.
Dogs. I'm not, and some I don't
My
smell
aunt used
all
to wipe
of their feet.
Butt
I don't smell all
out.
Of the feet. I don't smell their butts. I
Never
don't like,
that
smell their balls. Like everybody keeps wanting to touch our puppy's balls because they're really cute. They're like black and furry. I know. Like, stop touching his balls.
Whoa. Who are your friends?
I have deep in this.
No, like people in public and stuff.
General people in public are coming up and asking to touch your dog's balls.
Well, like I had when he was young, I had him like.
Start charging.
Somebody was like, oh, look at his balls. And I was like, oh, my God. Know, right? Like a dollar a touch.
Yeah.
Make it like they're, a, so they're a not, kissing booth.
Yeah. If they're not fixed, though, do you breed them? Or?
No. I'm not going to breed him, but he's only 5 months old.
And oh, now, I thought you said that you're old. Okay, no. Yeah, of course.
No, he's
too
only
young.
He's only 5 months old.
Are his balls still furry and cute?
They're furry and black and cute and like little.
Hey, that's an idea, ladies and gentlemen. When you have your male dogs fixed, you can keep those and make little little things for your ornaments for your rearview mirror or your Christmas tree.
What is up with that?
Oh, this is definitely going on the Christmas tree.
No.
Just give them to Bob. Bob will take your dog's balls.
What is up with that in LA? Like, guys and their balls, though. I like drive around. Have you ever seen
it's
the balls?
It's not just in LA.
Down
huh?
from
of course.
The cars.
It's everywhere.
Like, cojones. I'm like, what?
It's a truck thing.
It's a truck thing.
Definitely.
There's a lot of them in Tennessee too.
Take them to the leather fair in San Francisco and have a dog ball kissing booth.
Oh,
I feel like okay, you're like a sex expert. Don't you feel like balls are not sexy?
No, I actually love balls.
You like balls?
I do. I really like balls. So I love when in doggy style balls swing and come up and hit my clit. It's like my favorite.
Really?
Slappers.
Yeah. Like
do the windmill.
I love it. I really like balls. I do.
No, that's like amazing because I just don't know what to do with it. It's like, you know, do
you got to play with them. You got to play with them
for you. And you're like,
there's so much to do with them.
I'm
and I feel
of
like,
them, but...
yeah, I feel like men want you to involve them. Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, okay, so I'm sitting around. It's like an all girl birthday.
Yeah.
And we come up to the conversation where we're talking about balls.
Yeah.
And there's like one of my friend's daughters there. She's like 20 and maybe the mother is like 39 or something. And we're talking about balls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, everybody's put a ball or two in their mouth. And it got quiet. And I was looking around. I was like, am I the only person that put balls in my mouth at this table? And my friend Sally was like, of course I put a ball in. And everybody's looking at me mortified. I'm like, dude, if you're living with a man, his balls are going to be in your mouth at some point.
Yeah.
It's just the way that it goes.
Yeah, and they should be, as they should be.
That's right.
They're part of
the
whole
right.
package.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Let's not forget to mark this episode 21 and over.
How do you guys feel? Like, do you want your balls fondled?
That's hell yeah.
Yes.
I feel like every man does.
Yeah.
I mean, next time you got to give me like the ball.
I know, I wanted bigger balls.
But see, look, you have to play with the balls to get it to
squirt.
It's
not very much ball.
Yeah,
that's true.
You have to play with the balls to get it to squirt.
Those are like, these balls have already like done their duty.
Oh, look.
that's what I'm saying. You can play some major grab ass with that thing. You could start fights in a bar. You'd be like, and then like turn around, the dudes are like,
I haven't been in a bar in so long. God, I miss. I need to go out and get smashed.
Go out and get do smashed. So I was going to say, yeah, you live in
Los Angeles. I guess Los I have Angeles. A little bit of a window before I go. Oh, because, ladies and gentlemen, my friends who follow me through Facebook and Instagram know that I have my hip. Well, we just talked about
it. Well, yeah, it's
but
in
now,
the jar.
But now I found out today that I have to do surgery on the shoulder. Because I've ripped out the ligament.
You're going to be the bionic man.
And the surgeon said, because he said, you know, I said, I'm feeling okay now, but for months I couldn't lift my arm any higher than this. Yeah. And, you know, blah, yeah, I couldn't, blah. And he's like, yeah, well, he said, you're feeling better now, but it's a ticking time bomb.
Is he going to like reconstruct it or just kind of scrape it out?
He's going to put it back in the groove.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like day in and day out surgery?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it'll be probably overnight hospital stay, but okay. He said that I'll be in a sling. Yeah. Not the good kind. Where your balls are hanging.
Yeah. See, balls.
I'll be
balls.
In an arm sling like this. Thank God it's my left arm.
Yeah. Because
my
say.
Sister was getting graphic about when she had her surgery on her right arm, and she's like, I couldn't do it. And I was like, that's enough. Get it.
No.
You can't take care of yourself.
It wasn't that bad. What? Uh-huh. All she said was she couldn't wipe her butt.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Of
that's
course,
exactly,
my mind went to like, bloop, 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 bloop. You know, I'm like, at least you got your
well,
right
that's
hand.
What I always wonder about. You're these like, women I can't masturbate. Really, really long fingernails.
I wonder how those women do anything.
With those friggin' long, fingernails?
I don't understand
Chinese
it.
Fingernails
and now
or
they're like, they sharp them into razors.
How are you washing your vagina? How are you putting on your makeup?
Like, how are you playing with your man's balls?
This is what I want to know. How do you play with it? Yeah. I saw this dude on the airplane next to a woman like not too long ago. They were like gold and like this long and razor sharp. And he just looks sitting there. I was like, that's because he's terrified.
Yeah.
Because one missed slice and his dick is gone. Hello. Like Lorena Bobbitt style.
Well, and also the simple things like going to rub your eye.
Right.
You know, you could put an eye out with that.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen it? Like, I mean, they're beautiful, but I just cannot do anything with them. I mean,
that's dedication that they do
that.
How
do they do
that?
Yeah. No idea.
Yeah. Well, I clipped my nails today.
I have
and
no
they really,
pretty
for
nails.
A guy.
You have great nails.
Well, because in the bar business, the cuticles rip and they get sore and all that shit. And the nails get weak from all those chemicals. So I just like that beard, I just let them grow. Mm-hmm. And I could go like, but they were getting, and they were, you know, I was, but it looked kind of queer. And even though I'm a queer.
I was going to say, like,
you can say that word.
Yeah, you know, even though I'm a queer, I didn't want to look like some fag.
What?
I actually thought, like, when I was getting dressed, I looked up a picture of makeup, like 80s punk, and it was very androgynous. I was like, actually, this is good. Pink, it's the month of breast cancer.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's got their hair dyed now. And then I put on my makeup. I was like, ooh, I look kind of like a boy. And I'm like, isn't that kind of the look? And then I'm like, but isn't that like trend now?
Yeah.
Everybody is like open, just one
gender.
Pan. Yeah. I was like, that's what I was going for. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going for.
Pandemonium.
Pan.
Yeah.
Well, Dennis knows all of it. Dennis was one of the original true hardcore LA punk rockers for real.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
Like Misfit style or?
Germs.
What?
You germs?
Thank
the
you
band,
for sharing.
The Germs.
Huh? No, the band, the Germs.
It's weird.
I gotta Google that shit.
Yeah,
this is for your episode.
It's fascinating.
Right.
It's fascinating. And there was another band that was LA based that were, and this is like, I'm learning, and it's fascinating. But the Screamers and the Germs were the two national main punk bands.
I love that.
We have a mutual friend who, God rest his soul, Tomato Duplenty is his name. Google him. He's fat. He's also a fantastic artist.
Tomato.
Tomato. And he and Dennis were like best buddies in the late 70s and early 80s here in LA. And I met him at a bar, sitting at this in this cafe at the bar on Miami Beach when he moved to Miami in 1994. And he was living on South Beach.
Right,
South Beach was
boy.
An artist colony per se before it became Sobey, and now it's just ruined. But he put me in a play called Oogies. That he wrote, and the play was so bad, it had frontal nudity.
We've all done bad theater.
It was so bad that the Miami Herald called it horrendous.
Oh.
And I have the article, and it was, and that led to the theater being packed every night.
Yes.
Because everybody wanted to come and see the horrendous show. And it was great. It was one of the best
times
of my life. But 6 degrees of separation. And then his friend Darby Crash, who was the lead singer of the Germs, who you need to Google.
Yeah, I'll Google
And he blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to your story. But the irony is that the apartment that we share now is 1.5 blocks from where he lived.
A block up and around the corner. And I didn't realize it because my mental landmark was a little shopping center with disco drugs and a laundromat. That had been all torn down.
They just
tore
it down.
It was a great fence around it. So I didn't even know I was anywhere near the area. I thought it was kind of close.
Right.
But to find out, it was just like the next
block. Yeah, through reading the book about the germs and where he went. I was like, Dennis, this is right around the corner. So 4 o'clock in the morning, we jump in my little convertible. We drive around the corner and he goes, holy crap, that's where I lived 40 years ago. And there's this great artwork in the concrete. Because Darby Crash, if you ask anybody that's a real punker, they're like, he's God. He was.
No, I know. Yeah. That scene, like, and especially LA music scene and the traditions of it, like 70s, 80s style. Right. I mean, it was fucking crazy.
I wish I it was awesome. Sooner, but it's so different now.
I feel like I miss my generation. I feel like
the Sunset Strip now, there's nothing that there's not going to be anything there in 10 years. That whole strip, the Viper Room is going.
The Viper Room is going. Yeah.
That whole block is like that whole block.
Mm-hmm,
it's really sad.
It's all going to be nothing record but friggin' hotel so after hotel after hotel.
I know. So gentrified.
There's nothing there to make it. And I was watching The Graduate the other night, and there's a scene where Dustin Hoffman takes God, she's so beautiful. She was in Stepford Wives. Catherine Ross. Mm. Remember Mrs. Robinson?
Yeah.
Well, he takes the daughter on a date to the Sunset Strip, and it's 1967. And I mean, it's just amazing. Packed with kids and everything.
And all the lights. When I moved here, actually, which was just 5 years ago, I came here and I was like, oh, I'm on Sunset Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And I remember I started walking. I was like, what's the big deal about Sunset? I was like, I don't see any like cool stuff going on. And I was like right cool through here, gone. You know? Yeah. And I was like, I don't understand what the big draw is. Right. And then I learned that, like, okay, Hollywood Boulevard's pretty cool. Santa Monica's pretty cool. But Sunset Melrose, was like the thing I grew up knowing. Yeah. And then it's not anything anymore.
Yeah, like the Roxy and the Rainbow.
Yeah.
You can still get some vibes if you go there, but it's not the same.
There was an episode that I caught on late night TV a couple months ago. It was like Here's Lucy, which was her last season. She was in her 60s, I guess, trying to be in her 40s. Lucille Ball,
yeah. I love
and there was this bit where for some reason she had to go down to the Sunset Strip and blend in. So they had all these pseudo, you know, hipsters at the time, the girls with, you know, the long straight hair that they ironed and everything.
Yeah.
And they're all like, and of course she's looking like she's, you know, 70, but she's like, yay, what's up, man? And they're like, hey, you know, and I was cracking
like
up.
Hipsters. Yeah, they're
but yeah, the same thing. My Sunset Boulevard was the opposite because the movie Sunset Boulevard is one of my favorites. Okay. Have you ever seen it?
The original?
Oh my God. It's William Holden and Gloria Swanson. It's a 1940s or like 49 or 50s film, black and white.
Got it. As a Casablanca.
And the thing about it is that when you watch it, it's neat because you always think of these people as being so much older than you. But in the story, he's like in his late 20s.
Right.
And he's like this writer that's, you know, he's living on Highland and something. They show his apartment building and they make reference to it. And he's tapped. He's broke. And
right.
he can't get any work. And he's got a car that's financed. And the finance companies come. They're chasing him on Sunset Boulevard, like through Beverly Hills. And he whips into this driveway of this old, and it's a huge mansion, and the hedges are all overgrown and all that. Of Gloria Swanson plays an actress who was, in fact, you know, huge in the silent films, and she's a recluse in this mansion. And I'm not going to tell you anymore because it is the Sunset Boulevard.
Okay. I know that's a classic.
And when I first moved to town, I was going to Malibu, and it was a Friday afternoon, and I went to Santa Monica, blah 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 blah. So I'm coming down PCH, and I see Sunset Boulevard, and I go, "Oh, there's got that." And of course, the house is long since torn down. But anyway, so I'm on Sunset Boulevard from PCH.
Oh wow!
And I mean, all of a sudden,
it is a really pretty drive.
Well, it's a pretty drive, not take between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock on a weekday because it is gridlock. And I remember literally being this close to people in their cars, like, hi. And we're just sitting there like, and I thought it had to be some colossal accident somewhere. And no, it was just regular.
Just every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it is. It is I feel like my mom said the same thing too. And I even took her like down through like Beverly Hills and stuff because she was like, I thought it was going to be cleaner.
She
was like, I just thought it was going to be more different. Yeah. I was like, yeah, it's just dirty.
Well, Sunset
and
Boulevard.
Full traffic.
Sunset, when right at the end of Beverly Hills where that woman got shot 12 times a couple of years ago.
I don't know about that. I'm like, maybe I'm glad I don't know about this.
10 minutes? Are you kidding?
We've been.
Oh my gosh, we have so much fun at the Bobby shows. I'll save that story for later. Yay!
Well, I feel like. Sorry, I mean to cut you off. I feel like everybody's had their own great experiences on Sunset Boulevard.
Right.
Like everybody's gotten hammered. Everybody's ended up in like the Saddle Ranch.
Right. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Either on the bull or cheering for somebody on the bull. Or, you know, there's like, there's.
That's what's great about the comedy store is holding its own right there, of course, doing
Laugh Factory, all the old places. There is still like that whole Hollywood element if you can go and find it. But you're right. It's becoming a little bit less and less, a little bit more mainstream.
The neat thing about the comedy store too, though, is that it used to be Ciro's, which was, I believe, it was
like Ciro's Pizza.
No, like Ciro's, like this means mafia, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it does.
Why did you look at me when you said that? I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, at any rate,
but it was a mafia owned supper club. And it was like one of Lucille's. Google it. Seriously. Okay. And it's another comedy store. For you. It's supposed to be fabulously haunted, like bat with
a comedy store.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that before. Yeah.
The first time that I did a show there, I was in the green room in the main stage, and I was the first one there. And all I kept thinking about was a special that I saw and what I read about that being, you know, like the ice machine supposed to be haunted with this mobster, you know, and like mean ghosts, you know.
Oh, wow.
And this so big thing, I swear, is coming real slow by that. You know how the curtain's red?
Yeah.
When you're in the green room there. Yeah. And it's coming this way. And I'm sitting there by myself, and I swear, and it turned out to just to be like a 6'4" lesbian who was a comedian slash, and she owned her own construction company. But the way that she was walking along that curtain, she had real short hair. But I was like, okay, please let this be a human being. Do you have any shows coming up?
Oh my gosh. I have Stoner Rob's birthday show. Yeah, I have Stoner Rob's birthday show coming up on the 26th.
Oh, and where will that be?
I don't know. I'm so bad at this. I need to become better prepared when I come to these things.
That's okay.
I don't know.
Because I haven't done anything.
Yeah, I do post it.
Do you know Lee Cirillo?
And
she's a comic. She's older. She's hilarious.
She dresses like a nun.
I don't know. I'm better with faces. Huh.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I was on the phone with her and I was saying how I haven't done anything in months because I haven't felt like doing SHI beep.
I've just been traveling, honestly. Yeah. I've been on the road this whole month. I do have like 3 shows coming up this month, but I just haven't done anything.
I feel like now people are back in the swing of things and shows are coming.
We need to get out there and do some open mics and that sort of thing too.
Yeah, I feel like.
We got to keep, you know, I just get so discouraged because it's not that I am better than waiting for those 3 minutes and all that sort of thing. I'm too old to get into it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want
to
go.
You just had hip surgery. What are you supposed to sit on a stool?
I just want to be back doing some stand up, man. I love that.
I know. I miss stand-up as much as
I love doing the Bobbin Show. Yay.
No, I mean, the thing about shows is I feel like I do them when I want to.
Yeah.
When I have new material because I put my whole heart into it. Yeah. And when you're doing stand up, comedy in general, you're constantly thinking. Everything is like a joke or you're writing it down. But when you're doing a show, you're thinking about it in your head every day. Okay. Yeah. Writing in your head, rehearsing.
Yeah.
You put a lot into it.
I do have new material that I want to talk about.
I've got a ton of new material I would jot down to work into the core act.
You have to.
You were doing that girls' comedy thing for a while, right?
I know. Well, and the
ladies of comedy.
And Sunda's been wanting to do her Femme Fatale.
Femme Fatales.
And so, I mean, she's poor Sunda. I love her. She's been on a little break. She unfortunately lost her brother, who's also a huge comedian, had a billboard up in Times Square at the time of his death. And so I haven't connected with her in a while because I know that she's been kind of just, I was
like, we've touched base a couple of times, but I mean, she calls and I'm not available, you know, but we've been playing back and forth. But yeah, we love.
She called me for a show and I was traveling.
Well, that's Sunda Kreenquist. Who we love, and she's the owner of the LA School of Comedy at 10835 Santa Monica Boulevard.
And that's how we met and got to perform together. And I know I miss performing with you so much. It would be so fun. It's always fun.
We'll make it happen. I met her at a comedy show too. Mm-hmm. And the last time we did a show together, you fell down on the concrete on Sunset Boulevard.
But you were stone sober.
Remember, you all done that. You fell over the curb.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I was not stone sober.
I don't remember, but I believe it.
That, That was one of my most proud shows because it was one of Ray's speakeasy comedy shows.
I love
and that.
Ray shows.
I know we got to wrap it up. That back patio had like that. Like, remember that there had to be 100 people there, but they were all like under 30.
Yeah,
and
that's
they were
true.
All on their phones.
That's awful.
And, you know, and I was inside talking to some people, but when I went up and I looked out, and everybody in that, except for some people that were my age, somebody's parents were on a banquette.
I remember now.
Mm-hmm. And I started doing my stuff, and I swear when I was like 5 minutes into it, I looked out and every phone was down.
Yeah.
I have never been more proud of myself. Yeah. Every phone was down and people were laughing. I was like, yeah, that's cool. Because it's, you know, we've all bombed before.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. It was at the Haha Club when I literally looked at these four African-American women in the front row because they were just starting on me. And I was like, you know what? Forget it. Oh, no. It was bad. And then when I went back, I made up for it. But I knew I was going nowhere. So I was like, you know what, everybody, I'm done. Thanks. And everybody was like, what the fuck was that?
No, it's like
I completely lost it.
I think my worst bomb was actually with Sunda. And we were the comedians for the LAPD.
Oh, my God.
The Highway Patrol. And it was so awesome. They came and picked us up, and Sunda and I were in the back of the car. And we both looked at each other, and we were like, this is the first time we've been in a cop car that we haven't been arrested. And we started laughing. And the cop was just, like, shaking his head. And they told me a clean show, right? And because it's cops, you know? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble. It's like a room full of cops. So I was trying to do a clean show. It was practically like crickets because I was like opening for Sunda. And I'm like, okay, this is not good. They were like some jokes, but this is not good. I was like, I think my like exit was like, all right, I'm going to get out of here before you guys arrest me for being bad or something, you know? And Sunda gets up there and she's like, fuck, and cursing and doing all of her shit. And I was like,
hey.
And she's like, you just got to do your thing, girl. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it was such a good lesson, you know? Yeah. And I was like, they loved it. And I was like,
okay. Unfortunately, as we know here on the Bob Dean Show, time friggin' flies when we're having fun, doesn't it?
It does.
Sylvia, tell us where we can find you. Sans comedy for all of our folks out there who are into adult entertainment.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at the Sylvia Sage, or you can find me on Twitter at Sylvia Sage XXX, or Facebook at Sylvia Sage.
And Pornhub.
Very good.
And Pornhub.
And Pornhub.
And YouTube.
And YouTube.
All sorts of
that last Instagram shot of you, and it was fabulous, girl. It's like the first thing that pops up on my phone Instagram.
I know, she's gorgeous.
Yeah. As are you. And as are you, you Fidel Castro looking motherfucker.
Nobody pays me to fuck on film. So, you know, that's like a whole other level of.
You just have to ask them to. They will.
Okay. This is it, I guess, I want to thank Sammy Junio.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you.
Kathy St. George and Zach Herndon, who can't be here with us today. Hey, Zach in Bloomington, Indiana. Thanks for putting the stuff up on my website.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Yay, happy Halloween.
Please subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on iHeartRadio. And you can listen to us on Stitcher, on your Android, and YouTube, and bobthisearlycomic.com. And, oh, yeah, I forgot to say, I hate Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming.
Bye.
Bye.